Welcome to GLHF, everybody, the world's first podcast in video games. This is where the fun begins.
Right here, right now, in the Death Star. Sort of, kind of a weird reference, ma'am, because you picked a quote from the prequels, but of course we're in one of the original trilogy locations. Why, that was a weird thing to say.
Right, so this hasn't been built yet, right? Are we in the Death Star?
At the time that quote was said, it had been started being built. The plans had been in place as of about like maybe 10 years prior. You see them at the end of Star Wars Episode 2, kind of like the plans for the Death Star. And by the end of 3, they've built like a good chunk of it. So probably by the time he said that, some skeleton of the Death Star was pretty well underway. It's a large object, as you can imagine.
It's very large. Large as a moon, some would say.
Large as a,
But it's not
a small moon.
But it's definitively not a moon.
No, it is a space station, in fact.
Yeah. Right before we started, I was going to say, I really like that the texture for your face is just a photo of some guy's face. And I think...
Is that what it is?
Older games used to do that more, and I think we should go back to that. We should stop painting fictional faces for game characters. They should just be pictures of some guy.
I think that's totally reasonable. Are you sure it's just a picture of some, like, this is a real, like, GoldenEye, is what you're saying. It's like a picture.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing it in higher res than, you know, the original players of this game probably could have imagined, which is 1080p. Mm-hmm. And it definitely looks like a photo.
Okay. I honestly never realized that. Your head might also be, maybe obviously not a photo because it's like a helmet. But some sort of image. Right before we started, you said something interesting to me.
Yeah.
You said, I can only record. Well, you didn't say I can only record, but I can only record for an hour. So you graciously offered the excuse. You said, well, we should only record for an hour anyway because my hard drive is going to fill up. What do you do with all your videos once you're done making them? Do you just let them sit on the hard drive?
I put them on. No. So I edit everything on my laptop. Because it's like a good laptop that can do that. But so while I'm editing whatever my current video is, all the footage is just directly on my laptop because it's so much faster. I tried to use like an external drive plugged into my laptop before.
Yeah.
And it works, but it's just like slower and whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then once I finish a video, I do still keep all my raw footage, which I'm going to stop doing soon because I never do anything with it anyway. But I have
exactly.
There's an imagined future where I need it for some reason. But I put all of that on a big external drive I have that's very slow and just there to like archive stuff.
Did you know you can pay, like there's companies out there that store data like on a cloud server, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they store it in such a way that it will like never ever ever be deleted, but in order to access it, it's like in a mountain or like six different mountains, and you have to like pay a guy to go in to actually get it out. So if there's like stuff that you know you like need to hold on to for some reason, like some indefinite amount of time forever, but you know you're pretty sure you're never going to actually need to touch it, but you can't delete it, you can pay these people. And they store your digital data in some way where it cannot be destroyed by any whatever. But you can't access it unless you pay like thousands of dollars to send some guy into a vault and pull it out and like whatever and something like that.
Right.
Did you know that?
So it's not in the cloud because you can't just access it whenever. It's
physically.
Is
no, it's not.
In
no.
a mountain.
In this case, it's not. Well, I'll be honest. The only part of that story that was actual facts that I know was the part where you have to pay someone a lot of money in order to access it and you don't have access to it. All the stuff about the mountains and the guy going into the mountains, totally made up. But
well, that's just, I think that's a logical conclusion to come to. If you have to pay somebody a bunch of money to access it, it seems like they have to go on some kind of odyssey adventure.
Yeah. Or it might just be like super encrypted, so you have to run like 700
blockchain.
Is it in
like a nuclear bunker or something?
Could be. Yeah, it could be.
Are you revealing that that's what you do with your footage?
That's actually how I edit. That's why it takes me so long to put videos out sometimes, is I have to, every time I go to edit, I have to send a man in to fetch all the footage that I need. So what's on your hard drive that it's full? That's really what I wanted to know, because I assumed it was a bunch of footage, but I guess it's not. On this computer, anyway.
It is. So I'm recording this on my laptop.
Oh, okay. I mixed it up.
So it's all the footage from my next video, of which there is simply way too much.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you want to hold on to that, I know a guy with a mountain that if you've got thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. I can put that footage somewhere for safekeeping.
I think
you'll be able to access it.
I'm good.
Eventually. Okay.
I think I'm good for now. Okay. You're wearing like I'm just going to do a quick kind of outfit review of the Rebel Soldier, because, you know, usually when you're playing this kind of war game, there's a lot happening and you're like running for your life and you're trying to kill guys. Right. You don't really get a chance to kind of sit here and observe.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot to say about what you're wearing right now, which is...
Please.
We'll start from the top down. So you've got this ridiculous Rebel helmet. Always has looked ridiculous in all the movies and the games. It's fucking huge. It's like twice the width of your head.
Right. It looks like an egg kind of, right?
Yeah. And just it like stops vertically. It stops about where your ears are. So it doesn't cover like the bottom of the back of your head whatsoever, which is interesting. Yeah. But maybe...
that's not, isn't the whole thing with those, the things is like, it obviously it protects you from blasters or whatever, but you know, it's probably got some sort of communications gear in it or something, or something, you know, I'm sure it has some important
function. Yeah, well, you have a really kind of...
George Lucas wouldn't have just put these egghead things on these people for no reason.
Right. You do have this cartoonish antenna sticking up out of the left side of your head, so I assume that's...
Yeah.
That's for your radio comms, but
exactly.
It is pretty, it's pretty far away from your ear where the speaker would be, because like I said, the helmet is enormous. So that's my first observation.
Space technology. I don't know what you want me to say. It functions.
It kind of looks like maybe you have a visor that could come down over your face, but I'm not sure if that's a thing or not.
I don't know either.
And then
not that I remember in the movies.
You've got on a gray polo shirt is what it looks like. It's got a collar, but it's got no, it doesn't have buttons all the way down. So this is a long sleeve gray polo shirt, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then
does it look like something that would have been easy to purchase and mass produced in the 1970s?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. That's someone who was making a movie on a very tight budget may have needed to costume his people.
And then
with.
You've got the vest.
And then he
the
was stuck
vest.
With it for the next 50 years.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the black vest, and then you've got what looks like snow gloves on, like that you would go skiing with.
Well, if you turn around, space is right behind you. It's pretty cold in here. Okay.
Yeah.
Like we're right next to space.
That is space.
Like that is space.
You've also told me that this laser is going to shoot, and it has not been shooting.
Okay, well, you're not looking because it has fired probably 10 times since we started.
Oh, I guess it makes no sound.
Yeah, you know what? I don't remember if it makes sound or not. It's, you know, again, space technology. You wouldn't want the enemy to know you're coming, so they dampened it.
I want to see it. Maybe I'm going to just like turn around every once in a while to see if I can catch it.
I'll let you know when it starts to fire next time so that you can turn around. Oh, but it's starting. Look, turn around. Quick, here it comes. Here we go. You see it powering up?
I do not. Well,
Wait, this
thing is spinning. Is that?
You didn't see it. It's shooting right now.
It must not be synced between us. This thing is spinning. Is that part of the wind up?
Well,
or is that always spinning?
No, that thing is always spinning. Eventually, that big like circly thing to the right of it starts to glow green, but it's pretty frequent. So if you haven't seen it,
it's not for me to see.
Yeah,
you know
maybe
what?
You don't get to see it.
I'm a stormtrooper. I'm blind to the horrors that I'm part of creating.
That's smart. That's what they did with the... Never mind.
Anyway, so moving on. The pants are really interesting to me because you've got... Like, these could be modern army cargo pants, which I guess have just... Did those exist in the 70s? I guess those have just remained unchanged for so many years.
I mean, like, Vietnam soldiers probably wore, like, army cargo. Like cargo. Yeah.
And then these
silly
little
boots. I feel like we figured out cargo pants pretty early.
And a big old silver belt buckle.
Nice.
So I don't know. I guess I wanted to give you some insight into
what I look like.
Your appearance.
What's my skin color?
I would say average white man.
Average white man? Okay. Yeah. Very 70s. I think there should be a name for the phenomenon that happens where like a piece of media gets made and a lot of decisions are made about it that were very arbitrary. But yeah. Then the media gets really popular. So then they're stuck trying to explain and keep all of those things in the fiction.
Exactly.
It reminds me of... Somebody recently reminded me that Magic the Gathering is still very popular. And I think it's really funny that they can never change the backs of those cards. Because if you do, no, you can't play with them anymore.
I've like, thought there's about no, this with,
you have to keep
with
them
Pokemon
the same.
Pokemon, too. Because at some point, they did. Like, there are older Pokemon cards where the back is different. I don't know what year it was, but they have changed them before.
That can't be right, though. Because then, I mean, I'm sure there's like... But then how could you compete with them, you know?
I know what you mean. Well, let me look it up, because I'm pretty sure they've changed the back of the Pokemon cards at least one time. But you would imagine that's a really controversial decision, because then you can't use any of your other cards unless you put... Well, you can put like slips on every single one of them.
Right, but as a blanket rule, if you're a card game manufacturer, it would be tough to like say, hey, from now on, every... Because you then have to put slips... Every competition would have to be every card in a slip forever.
Yeah.
You couldn't just like promise that, you know what I mean? It wouldn't work, which is just so funny because the front of the cards have become extremely modern and like slick.
Mm-hmm.
But then the back, especially with Magic the Gathering, but Pokemon's too, the back is like kind of something that somebody made in the early 90s that they didn't think was going to be popular. So they just like did their best. Like there's a little funny little, like it looks like a little pen marking on the back of the Magic the Gathering cards. And it just has to be there forever because you can't even removing that small blemish would then.
Yeah, I don't know much about
make them
magic.
Unusable.
Let me look. Oh, yeah, that does look very old.
It's funny. And it's the same thing with like the egg helmets in Star Wars. Like then someone just has to come up with stuff, which poor George Lucas, he didn't care. He was just wanted stuff to look cool, which he should have just said.
And this looked cool.
In the 70s, did you see what most stuff looked like in the 70s, ma'am? it was a nightmare for aesthetics. So yeah, this was pretty.
Star Trek looks cool. Star Trek was happening the same time. Those movies.
Star Trek looks cool. Cooler than Star Wars? Like I feel like they look about equally cool. I think Star Wars looks pretty cool. I think the old Star Wars they hold up reasonably well, but like Star Trek looks cool.
I really like the, like, if we're talking fashion, I really like the uniforms in Star Trek. Looks way cooler than what you're wearing.
Man, that might be true. Yeah, I could follow you on that. I don't know. I've always been more Star Wars than a Star Trek person. I get the sense you're more Star Trek than Star Wars.
Oh, certainly.
That's fine. And by Star Wars, I mean just the one movie. None of the rest.
Literally just the one, the episode 4.
Just the only good one. It's the only great one. It's the only great one. The
I
other
was
ones
gonna
are
ask,
good. There's two other ones that are good, and then
what do
a
you
bunch
think are the good
pretty,
ones?
A New Hope is great. It's the only perfect Star Wars movie, and then Empire Strikes Back is good, and The Force Awakens is good. Beyond that. It's pretty mixed. It started to get pretty rough towards the last couple scenes of Empire Strikes Back going into the next 7 movies. Was, I think it got a little rough. It started taking itself a little serious. It started sniffing its own odor.
I'm definitely a casual fan of Star Wars. Like, I enjoy it and I watch them all, but I forget a lot about them because I'm not like really that into it. But, you know, I was still a kid when the prequels were coming out and I like the prequels, like whatever. I like them.
They hold up in a way. They definitely hold up in a certain way.
Like
a very specific way.
I love a cheesy ass, unrealistic, tragic romance story. And I cry every time at Anakin.
When they're going out into the arena
when,
and they're kissing and that song plays.
When Anakin turns and she's like, "You're breaking my heart." I cry every time. I cry every time.
I
love it.
I don't disagree that in spite of itself, the emotional moments of The Revenge of the Sith do work. Just because, like, the acting is good, honestly, is most of it. And the music is fantastic.
Right. And, like, everybody makes fun of how corny Anakin's acting is. And, like, it definitely is. But for the type of, like, romance story that they're doing, it's, like, exactly correct. It's like romance novels, like trashy romance novels. Like, that's exactly how you want the guy to act.
Yeah. No, I think upon retrospective viewing, his acting wasn't as much of an issue as maybe people made it out to be. It's obviously like very stiff and whatever, but it does kind of work, like, if you just take it for what it is.
Also, I think I just like looking at Natalie Portman, and I love all her outfits.
Oh yeah, I like when they ripped her. They made a point to make sure that giant tiger ripped off her midriff so we could see it.
Oh, and she looked so hot.
A lot of people thought so. And then she jumped on that thing and landed right between her legs. That the back of that elephant thing just boom, about 30 miles an hour.
Dude, all her outfits looked so good. Sometimes I come across like a TikTok that's just like a slideshow of all of Padme's outfits. She was slaying the whole time.
All of her outfits.
What? Is there like one
episode one?
Is there like one you don't like?
She was dressed like a strange alien.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, in episode one,
elaborate.
It was like she was a walking a circus. It was just her whole outfit was like a giant apparatus hanging off of her whole everything.
So are you talking about the iconic like red one with her face painted white?
That would be one of them. But there was other ones that were worn.
You
in
just
the,
don't
over the
get
of that
it.
Movie.
You just don't get how hard of a sleigh that is. It's so sick. All these designs are so cool. They're like too cool to be in Star Wars, if I can say that. Like so good.
But like compared to like Obi-Wan's outfit.
What is Obi-Wan wearing? Just robes?
Captain Panaka. Like, come on. These people are dressed. Or like who else is dressed? Orn Free Ta. These are people who are dressed to the nines.
You're saying names I don't even know.
Well, maybe watch the movies a little more closely next time, okay? And then you'll see some real,
no,
some
oh
true
my
outfits.
God. See, now okay? I'm just like gushing over Padme's outfits. She looks so good. Whoever the costume designer was seriously popping off. It's like insane.
I think they were very intentional about making sure that that was something that people could enjoy in those films.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Anakin did not deserve her. She slayed too hard. She deserved a man that slayed.
He did. He slayed like one kid and then two more kids and three children.
No,
and...
you're right. I forgot about that. He did a lot of slaying.
It is crazy if you think back on it. I know that much has been said about it, but it is funny that in a Star Wars movie, which is the funny movie about using the Force and like giant aliens and saving the world, there's a scene where a little kid looks up at the main character and goes, help us. And then he looks at the kid with rage and turns on his lightsaber, and then it's implied that he murdered. It's not even implied, it's shown that he murders hundreds of children. It's pretty crazy. And weirdly, I'm sure this is just like an obvious, like, oh, anything that deals with any of any political anything is going to have a lot of themes that are going to show up. But it is interesting how like that did deal with, not well, mind you, at all. But there were these funny themes of like democracy crumbling, not to make the comparison too much, but like a bunch of children being slaughtered by an mm-hmm. enraged white man. Mm-hmm. And it was accidental. Maybe George Lucas was quite prescient or something. But because what was that, 2005? But it is funny how on paper, those movies are almost seem smart, and then you watch them and you're like, oh, this sucks, but in like a good way. I always forget that I'm into Star Wars, or I always forget that I was into Star Wars mm-hmm. so much that I can tell you the name Orn Free Ta and
that's just made up. That's not real. I was gonna bring up airplanes because we usually have an airplane segment. I'm guessing, has nothing been happening with them anymore? Or you're just too busy with your YouTube fame to be researching airplane events?
I think one of the interesting things that has happened is I hadn't flown myself in a long time. and I started flying again. And so now I'm just doing it. So maybe I'm kind of getting it out of my system while when I'm by flying.
When you're in the plane, to, that's all the plane like content not, you need in your life.
Right. If it builds up.
Yeah.
I mean, planes are still crashing every once in a while, but that's nothing unusual has occurred except that helicopter. Do you see all that thing in the Hudson?
I don't think so. Recently?
Holy cow. Yeah, this was like a week ago. Helicopters flying along. It's a tour group. And the propeller just flies off. And the whole thing just popped like a rock into the Hudson.
Oh, my God.
Everybody died. Helicopters are insane, okay? You should have zero fear flying in an airplane. Those things are made to fly. They want to fly.
Yeah, a helicopter is a bizarre device.
It is against all of God's will that thing is staying
it is.
Together. It is trying to tear itself apart every moment,
right.
And that's how it stays up. They're amazing, and I would love to learn to fly them, but they are so much more
It seems really, really
from
hard
an engineering
to fly
perspective.
A helicopter.
It is a lot harder than flying a plane. Like, flying a plane is very, very easy. I think I've told you this before. Like,
yeah.
If we went up and I said, you fly it, you could get it around. You wouldn't be able to land it, probably, but you could fly it, no problem.
Yeah, well, takeoff and landing
is
the hard part, right?
That is the hard part. Well, it's the hard part. And then also just, like, remembering how weather works and regulations and safety procedures.
Right.
Things like that is really where your brain is mostly working. But, yeah, helicopters, it's a four-limbed activity. You have to use all four limbs pretty much all the time. There's no
oh,
like in
really?
An airplane.
What are you
yeah,
using your
once
feet
you,
for?
Once you, I don't know exactly in a helicopter.
Gas
I know
and
like
brakes?
You have one hand that's controlling I don't remember the names of these things, but one hand sort of controls your up and down, one hand is like your tilt forward backwards, and your feet is probably if it's like it is in an airplane, it's the rudder, so it sort of changes it. Flying an airplane is also a four-limbed thing. Like you're doing the rudder with these two pedals. That's how you steer. Like when you're on the ground, you use the pedals. And then you have one hand on the yoke. But the difference is you don't have a lever to like raise, to like go up and down, I think. I don't exactly know how a helicopter works. but it's a four-limbed thing. Whereas in a plane, once you're up there and you've got it cruised, you do this little thing called trimming it, which changes this little like tab thing on the tail that means if you take your hands off the control it'll stay nice and level. It's kind of like a cruise control almost, or like a
nice
whatever. And so once you're up there, as long as it's smooth, you can kind of, you're just chilling. But
a baby could
helicopter,
do it.
No way a baby could do it. Yeah.
You know what I just
so anyway,
realized
yeah, propeller flew off a helicopter, terrible business, not good.
Yeah, that's scary. I'm looking at the at a picture of the wreckage right now.
Yeah, I mean, it just fell like a rock.
I mean, at least that's the kind of thing where you probably don't even have that much time to realize what's happening before you're dead. So,
boy, it was about 10 seconds of falling. So,
well,
yeah, it wasn't great.
Gosh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Airplanes are the way to go. We love an airplane. Those things love to fly.
Yeah, I've never been in a helicopter. I guess most people don't really have the opportunity unless you're doing some kind of I don't know. I know you can do helicopter rides in like Hawaii or whatever if you're rich.
Mm-hmm. There's a place that does it here for like, they just run this little helicopter all day. And you literally just walk up, give a guy $20 and he takes you up for 10 minutes and he speeds over to the city and then he speeds right back and drops you off. It's like $20 or $40 or some ridiculously low amount.
Yeah.
Which just feels very funny to me. But
in New Orleans, of all places, like no offense, but what are you seeing
yeah,
exactly?
You can't trust these people. But I don't know. They haven't crashed yet, so.
You know what I just thought about for the first time for some reason? Is
what?
That all the, like, the X-Wings in Star Wars are, like, shaped like little airplanes, but there's no air, so there's no purpose for the wings whatsoever.
Yes, this is a big problem with the realism of spacecraft in general in movies, but especially those that are shaped like airplanes.
Yeah.
But like momentum, no one ever remembers that like momentum is a thing. They fly the aircraft like airplanes.
Yeah, they
even
like
the
they
new
turn
Star
it,
Trek movies.
You know, they turn it sideways to turn, yeah. Which doesn't, that wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, you would have to point it and then light the boosters going a different direction to move it. So
yeah.
it's one of those funny things.
I don't know why that never occurred to me until right now, but that is funny.
It's one of the things also about video games. Once I learned to fly planes, flying planes in video games now really annoys me, because for the most part, it just does not work at all how they work in real life. In fact, maybe the best example to like intuit how airplanes are supposed to feel is the wing cap in Super Mario 64. You know how you like kind of have that momentum to it, and it, you're really gliding through the sky. And if you pull back too much, you kind of stop and then fall out of the sky. Whereas most things like GTA airplanes, you just kind of point it and it goes, and there's no actual like momentum or flow through the air in that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Mario 64, so one of the more realistic flying simulations.
So isn't that just that games are usually just kind of keeping you at the same speed? Like, what do you mean by momentum? I guess I don't know how real planes work.
Like, I probably shouldn't have even brought this up, because I don't know if I'll be able to describe it exactly right. But like,
that's fine.
An airplane has to be going a certain speed to take off, right?
Yeah.
And as you slow it down, like this is maybe the best example is in GTA. It feels like, and especially older games, GTA 5 got a little bit better at this, but if you're flying straight and you start to go up or down or left or right, it doesn't change your speed at all. So like if you point up, right, you just keep going the same speed. If you point down, whereas in real life, if you point up, you start slowing down really fast.
Okay, yeah.
And if you point down, you start really going really, really fast. And so there's this like feeling of, because, you know, an airplane is really just a submarine through a different liquid, which is not in liquid at all. It's just it's a gas, but it has that same kind of like you are floating through a substance when you fly an airplane, and you have to think it's like a 3D boat. Also, I guess, which is what a submarine is.
So no, that makes
it's
sense.
Like just a totally different feeling than most video games have. So
yeah, I mean, to speak for the lay people, it's enough of a brain exercise for me when I get in an airplane in a video game to do the up is down and down is up. So also dealing with speed changes based on where it's pointed would not be possible for me.
There's a reason why Flight Simulator is not actually that fun to play.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Because I tried something similar with Elite Dangerous. As everybody knows, my favorite game of all time, Elite Dangerous.
Your number one video ever.
Your
biggest fan base is Elite Dangerous.
Not anymore. It was for a while.
You should go back to it and see if it will be proportionally large as the last one was. See if the worst people on the internet will pick it up.
It's funny
and
too
it.
Because that counted as blowing up for me at the time, but I think it was maybe like a few thousand views.
5K or something.
That was just way more than I
had how things
at the time.
Change.
But the more realistic the flight simulation, the less fun it is. But I guess it depends who you are. Obviously, there's a lot of people that think that's fun.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a curve. Like as it gets more realistic, it gets less fun. But then as it gets more realistic, eventually it becomes more fun again. But it's like there's this big dip in the middle.
Yeah, and then so you have to be willing to overcome the learning curve.
Exactly.
To
it's
get
like playing
to the
Skyrim
fun part.
With starvation mechanics.
Do you ever talk to the person next to you on an airplane?
Oh God. only if they start talking to me first. But if they do, I will be extremely nice to the point that I would get really mad with myself for making it seem like I'm way more interested in having this conversation. Like there was this guy in an airplane recently. And then he kept trying to talk to me like I was like, he was like, what's up, bro? And I don't like when people call me bro.
He called you bro.
I don't like.
How old was he?
Yeah, that's just a thing that men do. I either get bro or buddy. I don't like either of them.
Yeah, no.
He was like 40. But that's just like when men, I don't know if you know this, but like socially, obviously it's not strictly done by gender, but like there are these things that tend to happen with men. And one of them is there's like a type of man who just is, he immediately acts like he really likes you and that you're cool and that you guys are friends. And it's not just that you're friends, but it's like, he acts like, oh man, you're like, yeah, you're, what's up, bro? Like, how's it going? I hate when people do that. It is such a red flag for me because every time somebody acts really nice like that, it always turns out that they're a piece of shit every single time. I remember working in the bakery, and there'd be customers who would come in and kind of do that. They'd try and be real chummy and whatever. And I'd be like, I don't like those people. And all the staff would be like, why, he's so nice. And then eventually it turned out that he like said really inappropriate stuff to the ladies on staff, or was really mean to somebody because his coffee was whatever. And it's like every single time, it's like that. So I have a big anti, not friendliness, but like, whatever it is, like in the assumption of rapport really bugs me.
I just don't think you should call a stranger anything other than their name after you ask it, you know, because I get called like sweetheart.
Yeah.
By men and women that don't know me.
You might be right that that's the rule, is actually just don't call me anything. Bro, buddy,
yeah,
man, sweetheart.
Why do you have a nickname for me? I don't even know you.
Well, and this goes back to the assumption of rapport, doesn't it?
I've started talking to people on planes more because I'm
initiating.
Gosh, I can't remember if I have initiated. Maybe.
Whoa.
I'm kind of in my extroverted era. I'm trying it out.
I respect this. No, I honestly, my opinion of you has gone up, and it was already very high.
I ended up talking to this couple that was sitting next to me coming back from Japan last time. And I don't know, it's like that might be too long of a flight to start a conversation, because then my question is like, okay, we talked a little bit about like I think they had a daughter or something that was like dating a Japanese guy, and they were like going to visit his family or whatever. And we were like, we had like a 10-minute conversation at the beginning of the flight. And then it's like, okay, we're sitting next to each other for the next 12 hours. So what's the relationship now? How often are we going to talk in this 12 hours?
How frequently is this going to come back to bite me? Like, and how long can I sit before it's like awkward, like I'm ignoring my friend, but we're not friends, but we did talk. Like, so we're kind of,
because we were talking for like 10, 15 minutes, and it was kind of dragging on. And it was like getting to the point where I'm like, I kind of want to put my headphones on and read my book now, but like, I'm talking to these people. Like, at what point is putting the headphones on rude? And we did eventually,
just kind of beat her out.
After the first like half hour, then we stopped talking, and then we just like said goodbye when the flight was over, which is, I think that's ideal.
It's really funny because in no other context would it be appropriate to have a 30-minute conversation with someone, 8 hours of silence, and then say, see you later.
I mean, what
that
else
just
are you
never
supposed
ever
to do?
Would happen. Yeah.
What am I supposed to talk to
at
them
that point
for 12
Your
hours straight?
If your relationship is not active for 16 times the amount of time that it's active, you're not obligated to say goodbye to them. I think you can just walk away. But, you know, in some ways, is it less awkward? Because you almost want to know the people
you're
sitting around.
You think I should just not say goodbye
around
at the end?
No. I'm almost advocating more for like, maybe you should like make a point to kind of like touch base with all the people you're sitting around. It's like how you should get to know your neighbors in real life, right? Which nobody ever does.
But I know, and I want to.
It's like a good thing to do that, right?
How
to, like, have community.
How do I know my neighbors without it being weird? Do I literally
There's
just...
There's no way. You just have to accept that it is going to be weird and that you're going to shoulder that
burden.
Because
I want to know my neighbors.
Good.
I see people walking around that look so cool around here, and I'm like, I want to know these people, but it's always in... Like, a lot of it's, like, in the early morning, they're all out walking their dogs for the first time. And I'm like, if that was me, I would not want somebody to talk to me because I just woke up and I don't look good. And so I just leave people alone. But I'm like, but I would love to know my neighbors.
Have you ever been talked to randomly by a person who was, like, totally didn't have any weird intentions or whatever, even if it was awkward, but just, like, a normal person who said hi to be nice for 2 minutes and then left? Has that ever happened to you and you were mad that it happened?
No.
Yeah, so there you go. Like, it doesn't matter really. Like, even if it's not the perfect time, nobody ever comes away from an earnest interaction with another human being feeling
I just
bad.
Overthink it.
Maybe not nobody, but in general, yeah.
I want to come up with like a list of, well, I guess tell me if this is corny or not. I want to come up with like a list of like getting to know you questions that I can ask people.
Do you have any on hand that you want to try out? Because I would need to hear them to know if they're corny.
I haven't really thought of any yet. I think that's the point. But I want
to... My go-to is, what's your deal? That's what I say.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then
one.
People go, and then it takes them a second.
I like the vagueness of that because they can go wherever they want with it.
Yes. Or if I need to be more specific, like if they're clearly flat-footed by that, I'll say, what do you do with your time, your free time? Like when you have time, when you're not working, what do you do with that time? People, that usually is a good one to get people to chit-chat.
Yeah. I like that.
I don't know. What do you think? You want
to,
we can spitball some questions that probably there's a list of them on some corporate getting to know you retreat website somewhere. Another good one is, what were you doing right before I started talking to you? What was like the last thing you were doing? That's a good icebreaker.
Yeah. I like asking people like, what have you done today?
Yeah.
Like, I say that one a lot
earlier.
Cause like,
who'd you vote for? That's a fun one.
Do you ask people that?
No way, dude. Crazy.
That's so funny.
Like, how's it going? Who'd you vote for?
First question you ever ask somebody.
Get it right off. I mean, you know, it's kind of like when you like get on a first date and you're like, you want kids? You're like, Jesus Christ. But some people like to be efficient. It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so. My problem right now is just not feeling weird just approaching people on the street. But I guess I'm just going to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, you just have to set a goal to approach a person a day. I mean, and I would love to do that too. Like, I think that should be a goal, a life goal, is like just be in the habit of saying hi to somebody when you're walking on the street. Like, don't put your headphones in for once and just like talk to someone for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, I like your hair. Even if you don't. Hi.
Maybe.
Cool.
Because there's going to be a little break before we record again. And maybe I'll like force myself to do it and I'll report back next time who I talk to, how many people I talk to.
Maybe you could bring one of them on the pod.
Bring them on the podcast.
Yeah, you could do your reverse Uno on me because I said I was gonna. You could just show up with 10 people that you met.
Yeah.
So how many? Like, what's up? We're on the
How many questions GLHF. Do you think I should ask them before I ask them to be on the podcast so it won't be weird? Like three.
Are you going to stop people in the street and just say, hey, I've got 10 questions for you? Or are you you're going to start by saying hi,
I
assume.
No, I'm going to pick one.
Just one. Okay.
To start with, yeah. Well,
how
then
many
you're
questions
just having
before
a...
they come on the pod? I think just one. It's you say, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? That's the first question right off the bat.
Oh, that's very influencer.
And then you find whoever says,
it's very influencer
that's annoying.
Of me.
You're right.
You want to be on my podcast, and I hold the mic up to him.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, where you live, that's like less of an immediate turnoff, right? Because people aren't, there's not like influencer vibes there. So people won't be
Yeah,
suspicious.
Not yet. I'm bringing it. I'm going to be the influencer
yes,
in this town.
You're starting it. Same. You already know. I was thinking about that in the context of going to VidCon because I'm going to have to meet a lot of people there. And I was like, I'm not good at that at all. Like what people would refer to colloquially, or not colloquially, I guess it's like officially, as networking is what I'll have to spend a bunch
just
of time
don't,
doing.
Just don't do it. That's the secret to networking is not networking. If you think of it like that, then it's already over.
Well, exactly, right? Because all it is just say hi to people. And
it's just
but
being
it's
normal
talking
and
about,
talking to people.
Which is being, but that's what we're talking about how to do, is being normal
and
just talking to people.
Talk
that's
to people.
That's the trouble, but the good news is hopefully I'll have enough clout by the time we get there that I can just be myself, and if I'm rude, they won't care. Cause
and everyone will
they
just fawn over
my
you.
My friend. Yeah, that's my goal.
So obsessed. So. We'll do it. I'll practice. See, I'm like nervous about this, but I should do it. Next time, next podcast,
yeah, there's literally
I'm
going
to
no
tell you about some stranger that I talked to in my neighborhood.
It's absolutely a net. It's not even a net positive. It's an exclusively positive thing. Like nobody, you will make their day better. You'll make your day better. You'll smile and feel good. Mm-hmm. You'll feel more connected. They'll feel more connected. That you'll feel safer because you'll know people in your community. They'll feel safer. Like it's such. If everybody did that, the world would be a better place.
You know what part of it is that most of the people I see out have dogs because they're walking their dogs all the time. And, as we all know, I feel awkward around dogs. I don't really understand them. I'm not a dog person, so I don't have that. Like, I wouldn't go up to these people and be like, oh, your dog's so cute, because I don't really think that. I don't know how to have a conversation about a dog. So it's like I have to approach these people walking their dogs, but not talk about their dog because I don't know how to talk about dogs.
Well, you can just say, oh, hey, a dog, how are you? And then just talk to the person. You don't have to say, you can just, you don't have to not acknowledge the dog. You can go, look, a dog. My name's Mem. How are, where do you live? Start with that. What's your address?
What's your address?
Because you got to know if they're, because if they're not in your neighborhood, too. You don't even bother.
It's like
hey, which house do you live in?
Yeah, I've also thought about that aspect of it is like, I, like maybe I should know them a little bit before I point out exactly which house I live in, you know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Or point at the wrong house. Sometimes I do that. I every once in a while I run into people who like know me from the internet within like two blocks of my house. And
that's
I
so
always
scary.
Start by saying, oh yeah, I live right. And then I like halfway through the sentence, I'm like, right, like a couple miles up the road. Like, oh, I live in, I always like switch it. Cause I'm always like, it'll be like people working at a place. Like I just ran into a really nice guy. I went to this new coffee shop and he didn't even say anything right off the bat, but my finger slipped and I hit the no tip button. So I said, hey, can you ring me up for a penny so I can tip you? And he was like, no, we'll just call it even because I like your videos, which was very smooth. Shout out to
like he didn't even
Garrett.
Say anything before
that. It was very
that.
Smooth. Yeah, he was like, he was just chilling. Yeah. He was like, yeah. And I said, no, Gareth, listen, you if you do not ring me up for this, I'm going to be pissed. Like, you need to let me tip you. And he did. God bless. But weirdly, he rang me up for 3 pennies instead of 1. I don't know what that's
greedy.
About. Yeah, jeez, dude.
You should have just gave him a 10 and said, bada bing. Sorry, I forgot you said you're gonna punch me. Are you gonna fly here and punch me for that?
I'm writing them down. Okay, you and all these people. We almost made it, you know, because last episode I brought it up again, this, because, you know, I don't remember what I said.
Yeah,
but,
you
like,
keep bringing it up.
Tagging me. Yeah, and then I realized I keep bringing it up, and I was like, this is gonna make sure it never dies again. I was, dude, even... literally just the other day I was talking to Ashlyn and somehow we were talking about Bora Bora and I was like, Bora Bora, what's that? And she was like, it's a country. And I was like, I haven't heard of Bora Bora, I've only heard of something, some other weird B word. And she said, oh, that's weird, have you heard of Bada Bing? I was like, I'm gonna kill you.
This
I can't
good.
Escape it.
This never. Is good for your brand. It's good to have a thing. You know,
are we gonna merch? Can you merch it? What, it? Listen, merch it, and I'll be happy. Let's get a GLHF Bada Bing shirt, and at least one person. As people are gonna start saying it's me in person, and I'm gonna have to deal with that. Because here's the problem: like, what am I supposed to do if we let's? Because you know how I just reacted when you did it to me just then.
Yeah.
What did I do?
Silence.
Exactly. That's it. That's what I want to do in response. I'm just going to keep looking at you until you go on to the next thing.
I think that's fine.
I'm not... Well, but then I don't want people to feel like I hate them. Because I don't hate them. I just find it... Like, I'm not, what am I going to do? Ha-ha? You know? Or actually punch you? That would be funny. But also assault? That's not good.
You could just say bada bing back. It's like... Maybe it's like a dance monkey moment. They just want you to do it.
Wait.
Do the thing.
That's a crazy suggestion. Absolutely not. You go bada bing and I go bada boom.
No, dude. Yes! This
not
is your new
happen.
Secret handshake with your fans.
No.
They say bada bing, you say bada bing, and
start,
you give them some finger
I'm gonna
guns.
Start, I'm going to start shouting it from like... I'm just going to hear people shouting across the room, bada bing, and they're going to expect me to shout bada boom back.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to happen.
At VidCon, there's going to be a crowd of people outside your hotel balcony that are like, Austin, we love you, Austin. And you're going to come out of there, and instead of holding a baby over the railing, you're going to go bada bing, and everybody's going to scream.
I'm going to hold a baby over the railing as well, though. In fact, I'm going to name the baby bada bing.
Do that, too.
And then it's going to have to grow up and change its name. That's what happened to Blanket, right?
I really love this for you. Maybe let me think of a final question before we go.
Okay. Let's go. You can come up with a good one.
Your house is on fire. What are you grabbing? Maybe
a fire
this
extinguisher?
Is maybe this is me trying out my getting to know people questions. Should I stop someone on the street with their dog and say, "Your house is on fire."
So obviously we're saying it's on fire in an unstoppable way, correct?
Yeah, because everybody always says, don't grab anything, but that's so unrealistic. Everybody's grabbing
something.
Yeah,
no something. One's
going to
do
I'm
that.
I'm grabbing my laptop no for sure.
I mean, I don't know. I could, if I, I probably would want to just grab my like computer just because of all the music I have on it that I've made. The video stuff, I can remake all that. And then the music I can remake too. You can always just make more, but probably I would grab like my birth certificate shit, I guess. And then maybe my computer. But I...
Oh yeah, all the documents.
Yeah, you don't want to lose that.
I would save my cats' lives first.
I have a big thing of Red Bull that I just bought.
You take that?
That would be a, yeah. It's like one of those big old 36 can things.
Yeah.
I'm trying to wean myself off of the giant Celsius's.
I just bought a
Celsius's.
Box of really expensive protein bars. Maybe I would grab that.
Yeah. Sustenance for sure.
Because it was like I can't think $4 per bar. So.
Yeah. Honestly, I think I would just leave and just let God figure it out, you know? Because then that will really tell me which objects I have that are worth having. Is like if any of them survive.
You think? Like,
yeah.
Wait. So you think whatever survived the fire is the most valuable stuff? It just kind of like
yeah.
spinning
I think
the
that's
wheel?
Sensible, right? Because like if it can't survive a fire, that means
What's
God
the point?
Doesn't think it's important.
Yeah. Okay. I need to get off of here. Good chat.
All right. I love it. Great chat.